The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, you have blessed us in so many ways. Open the eyes of our heart with wisdom and discernment, that we, like Abraham, might continue to be a blessing in return. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you particularly for your rigorous follow-up on this issue. We all appreciate what you've done, Senator Mitchell, and as I hinted to you before the hearing, in your spare time, Congress could undoubtedly use your services with a few disputes I could name.
Hello, I'm Jean Wyatt Filer, and I've known Marty Slatek for a little over 6 years as a parishioner, but also as an office volunteer. I volunteer in the office twice a week. I have to admit that I wonder sometimes. He has an awful lot of energy, have you noticed? You know, as if preaching and taking care of the church wasn't enough, he always has to do these functions. There's always some dinner or something he's putting on. And, you know, you could come here at 6:30 in the morning, you could come here at 10:30 at night, he's here. I worry that possibly there might be a substance abuse problem, like perhaps drugs.
The third and last interview was in early December 2007, just before we released the report. The purpose was to make absolutely certain that we had accurately understood and reported his statements to us.
Hi, I'm Joe Mercurio. I've known Marty Slatek. 11 years we used to sing in a Saturday night choir together, and ever since he's become priest, you know, we really love him, but he just keeps going and going. We don't know how he does it. You know, we don't know what he's on, what steroids or anything, but we still love him. We want to keep him. Thanks.
At the conclusion of the interview, as we had at the beginning, we reminded him that all we wanted was the truth. We asked him if he was completely comfortable with the truth and accuracy of the statements which would be included in the report.
Well, now, first off, I don't believe you can have a wife testify against her husband. Now, that being said, I'm going to tell you, I have never seen my husband. I've never seen Marty with any sort of performance-altering drug. I've never seen it. Okay? Never seen him take a performance-altering drug.
This is really disgusting. You're here as a sworn witness. You're here to tell the truth. You're here under oath. And yet we have lie after lie after lie after lie.
I want to be clear on this, that at no time, any time in my history here, have I taken performance-enhancing drugs. Thank you. There's no more to say.
First time I saw it as well. So we kick off this Sunday our capital campaign. And it is in the RSI plan that the rector gives his own personal testimony today about why I am committed to this church and why I am committed to this capital campaign. Besides that, I don't think you could handle another Max Lucado sermon on John 3:16. Many of you who know us for a long time know that we were blessed to be parishioners in this church when we arrived back in 1994. Demery was born to us into this church family. She was baptized by Father Mike right here. Bree was gifted to be a member of a fledgling youth group at the time that grew and prospered, and she was able to participate in the first ever international mission trip that this church did. And now we're blessed to have her back in our midst as our interim youth minister as well. This church has been nothing but blessings to us. It is our home. 7 years ago, the being born anew that Jesus talked about with Nicodemus in the gospel, though, happened for me and for us. This very day, 7 years ago, I sat before a hearing, not a congressional hearing, but in that room, the vestry and search committee of this church grilled me for a couple of hours for my final interview shortly before I was invited to come here as your priest and rector. In the midst of that interview, there was someone that many of you came to know and love long before we were here by the name of Judy Rogers, the beloved headmistress of our school who left us too soon due to cancer that called her home to heaven. And in the midst of that interview, Judy said to me, "You know, if we hire you, we know you. And there's going to be none of this excuse of not getting stuff done right away because there's this getting to know you period." She said, "We're going to expect you to hit the ground running." Well, I did. And for 7 years, I have been so blessed because I have been able to see more than anybody else because of my position what God is doing in this place. You talk about what keeps you going. Well, there are no performance-enhancing drugs. But what does keep me going is what I see God doing here. The first reading talked about Abraham. And God said, I'm going to bless you. But he doesn't stop it there. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And as I have continued to experience God's blessings in this place, all I want to do is to be able to give more of it back because of the incredible blessings that God continues to shower upon me and upon everybody connected with this church. We have seen miracles, literal miracles, happen as a result of the Daughters of the King intercession at that holy place in the corner of the church. Physical, emotional, and spiritual healings that have happened in our midst. We have been blessed to see people who have lost loved ones, who, because of the outreach of all of you, have found new meaning in their lives with their spiritual family. We have had people suffer the pain of divorce. And yet this congregation in some way has been able to reach out to both of those parties so that they know that they still are loved. We have had people who have been in the hospital literally for 5 days, and already there are groups of people taking food to those people and visiting them in the hospital even before we in the office know that they were sick. We made a decision shortly after I arrived here that there was too much ministry to go around for the priest to be sort of licensed to do it all. And with my predecessor, Father Mike, who had started such a wonderful lay ministry here, we expanded that such that we have lambs who take communion to people. We have lambs who can pray and anoint people. We have a growing hospital ministry that goes and visits people. We have growing outreach to our community, both locally and internationally. God is doing something here. We gathered in this church Wednesday night, and 122 of us were praying together. The atmosphere in here was electric Wednesday night. And we did an exercise, and we talked about that first time or one of those times in your experience here where you experienced something of value, something that was important to you, and you connected. And I went out into the aisle, and the words were just coming out of people's mouths joyfully of what they had experienced. Hope, joy, inspiration, friendship, challenge, love, acceptance. It could have gone on for much longer than I let it. These are the blessings that God is giving to us in this place. So we come to this point in our life together where it appears if we are going to continue to be able to grow, it's going to call for some facility expansion. And so just as we feel as a family like we have been so incredibly blessed, we want to do whatever we can to help these blessings to multiply. But the problem for us is this. And it's difficult for me because I'm called today to talk about my and our family's financial commitment. I'm embarrassed. To talk about the money that we give is a private thing. And it can sound like I'm up here to brag. But it also can be embarrassing for me for the little that we can give. But I hope you receive it with the idea that perhaps the Holy Spirit will start touching some neurons in your heart and in your brain to start thinking about what God might be calling you to do. This past year, when it looked like the budget was going to need to go up for our operational budget, Dee and I decided we would step out in faith and we would do a bigger increase than we had ever done for our annual pledge, thinking that God would provide for that. Now the capital campaign comes on top of that. So we started to think, I started to think first, well, what can we possibly do? I got an idea. Every year on the anniversary of my arrival here, I change my shoes. I have to get special shoes because of my back, and I have to have the special support in the back. Well, I started watching the ads at Dillard's, because these shoes, list price, are $99.98. But they always have a half-price sale somewhere in there. And sure enough, about 2 months ago, they announced, Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., all shoes half price. I was at the door before they opened. I got my size, I got my color, black. Now I've got $49.98 in my pocket that I didn't think I was going to have come February 17th. That's our first gift, $49.98. Then I started to think, well, operationally in our home budget, you know, there ain't a lot there. We're paying the bills, but that's about it. So what else can we get? And I thought about Aunt Frances. Aunt Frances, my godmother, who died about 25 years ago. And because she was my godmother, every year on the anniversary of my birth, my parents told me she bought a small savings bond that was in her and my name. She dies, they come to me. My father finishes her estate, puts them all in an envelope, gives them to me. I put them in a drawer and basically forget about them. When the Capitol campaign came up, I looked into that drawer to see, when do those things mature? 2009, 2010, 2011. The very same 3 years that we are being asked to commit financially to this campaign. Okay, I get the message, God. That adds $2,800 that we can give to this campaign. We want to give more. What else can we do? Well, you know, this church has been very good with both our lay and our clergy employees to try to build us up slowly but surely towards what would be considered the median acceptable salary for people in our professions. And this past year, this vestry made a move to help us to move a little bit inching up that scale towards that. But I thought this. Last year, on the salaries that we had, we paid our bills. The year before that, we paid our bills. The year before that, we paid our bills. What if we took the money that wasn't committed yet from that raise, because some of it had gone to the operational budget with our increased pledge, what if we gave that to the church for this campaign? Well, you know, this is something to think about because it doesn't seem like a lot of money. But when you multiply that, 2 paychecks per month, that's 24 paychecks a year for 3 years. That's 72 times that amount. If you add that all up together, our gift to this church can be $12,000. And $49.99. For some of you, $49.99 is a stretch. Some of you, I know, worry that your money is going to run out in your advanced age before your earthly life does. There is no one in this church who should ever think about jeopardizing their survival for the sake of this campaign. There are some of us that $12,000 is a drop in the bucket. Somewhere in there is the commitment that God might be calling you to. Some way beyond that amount, some a lot less than that amount. I love this church. God is doing something here. the blessings that he gives to us, he wants us to be a blessing as well. The performance enhancing that goes on around here is incredible. I can't imagine another church in this country where we would be embarking on a capital campaign, and instead of hiring out to a third party all of the print and visual materials, we would have people who would come forward with their passion and with their gifts to donate basically their time 24/7 for about a month to make this happen and for you to receive your materials today. I can't think of another church where instead of hiring a professional video company, which almost every church I know does for a capital campaign, to have members of our youth who are graduates of our pilgrimage come forward and say, "We want to do that video." When you watch that video, think of it in those terms. These are members of our youth group who love this church so much that they wanted to do this project for us. We talk about blessings. They are here. I'm going to ask you in closing to do three things. In the brochure, there is a letter. And the first and foremost thing is to pray. This whole campaign started in prayer. It needs to continue in prayer. Everything that we do needs to be rooted in prayer. And that first prayer needs to be for the leadership, both staff and lay volunteer leaders of this church. Because this capital campaign is layered on top of everything that we do in this holy place we call our home. We do a lot already. This is one more thing. Pray for their strength. Secondly, pray for your own discernment as to how God might want to transform you through this process. The vestry and lay leadership decided to pull the plug and start this capital campaign for one reason. When RSI came in, they told us that going through this campaign would transform our lives, especially in terms of the way we view stewardship. Let that be your prayer for yourself. God, how would you transform me? And then lastly, and specifically, if you haven't already, to start the creative process to see where God might be calling you to give joyfully and sacrificially to this campaign. The blessings are many. May we let them continue.